Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Buzz! Support for Two Old Queens is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world.
I love an innuendo. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for all your family jewels. Wink, wink. Wink, wink.
Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0.
You should join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. We have an exclusive offer for you. You're not going to believe this. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TWOOLDQUEENS, T-W-O, Old Queens, at manscaped.com. Can you believe it?
The Manscaped, I have to give it to you. It has a really nice hand feel. Like, it feels so good in your hand. It's got heft. It fits just right in your hand.
It does feel great, you know? And it's got a light on it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can see what you're doing down there. It's perfect.
And it's really, like, I've used, like, other trimmers before, and let's
okay,
just say
go on,
a
go
bit
on.
Of a laborious process. I've, you know, got some nicks and scratches. This isn't exactly an area where scabs are appealing.
No, absolutely not.
But I used the Lawnmower 4.0, and it was really easy and fast.
Yeah, it's like a dream. It has a nice, lovely buzz and hum to it.
A nice hum.
You can use it in the shower. It's waterproof.
You know, they engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade. We love ceramics. Reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe. That's a trademark technology.
It even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard length. So there's sizes 1 through 4. Sizes are important.
What did you go with, John?
What I went with, a three,
something a little more conservative.
It's slightly conservative, but it's not
Chris
too...
Winter's coming.
Exactly. You gotta like, stay protected.
You wanted a scarf, not a tank top kind of thing.
Exactly.
And did I mention wireless charging?
You have not mentioned wireless charging yet,
I can't
Mark.
Believe I'm all everyone I talk to on the street, I'm saying wireless charging. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm talking about the Lawnmower 4.0. It uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery life last longer.
Guys, if you've been shaving with the same nut trimmer on your face, you have been doing it wrong. Nobody wants to end up with a sort of ball sack beard.
But it's not going to happen with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. Make me time the best time.
And your balls will thank you.
It's about goddamn time. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code TWOOLDQUEENS. That's T-W-O, Old Queens, at manscaped.com.
Yes. Once again, that's 20% off, T-W-E-N-T-Y percent off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code TWOOLDQUEENS, T-W-O, Old Queens.
That's all we got to say about that, I think. So please order it.
And now on with the show.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's Two Old Queens. It's Two Old Queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two Old Queens. It's Two Old Queens. Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am very excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're an actor and writer you know from the comedy group Big Grande, the podcast Man Dog Pod, the show Superstore, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, as well as the movie Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, which is now streaming on Paramount Plus. It's Dan Lippert.
Yay.
Ooh. Dan, oh my God. Did you bring a ghost with you?
Oh no.
Chilling.
Yes, I have the ghost making an appearance today.
Oh, wow.
I was really impressed with that, with the you two doing that intro in unison, because even though you counted it in, John,
I did.
It still should be on a lag, but you still nailed it at the exact same time.
Well, it's this is our 120th episode or so. So if we don't have it down at this point,
at least 80 of them have been online. So
but good portion. Dan, you're in a scary movie. Is it scary? Would you have scary scenes to make, or is it just like, this is the fifth time we've done this? I know Roger's gonna jump out behind this thing and wave a knife in my face.
Yeah, well, you always got to be a little scared of Roger.
Sure.
you're buying unpredictability with Roger.
It's not super scary. There was one scene we shot where a lot of it takes place in creaky old buildings. I think I can reveal that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's come out by the time I say this. And so there was a scene we were shooting that was like relatively improvised. And in the middle of it, they banged on the walls a few times to get like a natural scared reaction out of us. And it did scare the shit out. Anytime you hear a bang that you're not expecting, it's scary.
That's true. It's alarming, at least.
Yes.
It's startling. That's why, like, when I go through like these haunted mazes and there's a bang, I don't get scared because I'm expecting
a
bang.
Right. Yes. I had pitched this recently. Tell me what you think. It should be a haunted maze where somehow they have your phone number or something, and you get an alert on your phone on the way in that somebody was killed in a haunted maze recently. So that you go into it a little scared, and it's a fake phone alert, but then you're like, oh, it's just turned it up a notch.
So it's like it's like adding an extra layer of reality.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they could tag you on Twitter with it.
Oh, that would be good.
Because I'm always checking my phone the minutes before I get into a maze. Let me make sure there's no
just one
history.
Last check before I check out and unplug. Right.
Sometimes I'll email Mark from 9 to 10 p.m. in October, and I'll get the vacation responder. I'm in
a maze
the next 40 minutes.
This is an emergency.
Can't respond. Do you go through are you like a big Halloween experience head?
I was not. And then I went through a few and I became one. I haven't been since COVID. I know a handful of people who have been doing like the delusion one.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just saw somebody who was at the Griffith Park hayride last night.
I was there last night.
You were probably with this person.
I probably was.
Tony. Charlie.
Yes.
Oh, heard of her.
He grabbed me a few times because I had to leave. They made me check my vape pen when I went in. And then to get into, once you leave the metal detector, you go through this like tunnel thing where like people are jumping out at you. Mm-hmm. So we left with Tony and I, got back to the metal detector to pick up my vape pen. They said, no, it's back at customer service. So we had to go back through that tunnel four times, and Tony screamed every single time.
That's a spook on its own. That's good.
The scariest thing was my vape pen was in a plastic tin with like 60 other lighters.
Oh, wow.
Things like this. I was like, do I want it back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, how much sanitizing do you have to do to be comfortable with that again?
I wiped it on my shirt.
That's enough.
That's enough. Perfect.
That's
what Fauci said.
It has your antibodies on it. So it's good.
Yeah. Fauci said, just wipe it on your shirt. It's good.
When your vape pen gets mixed in with other people's things at different experiences, wipe it on your and I went to the Knott's Scary Farm a couple years ago.
Sure.
And thought because it was, I associate Knott's Berry Farm with like four kids.
Yes.
And I went and it was like, no, this is scary. There's a chicken man following you around very close.
Not Colonel Sanders. Creepy.
Not the chicken man.
No.
Oh, I see. Not Reba McEntire as Colonel Sanders. That would be chilling.
A half chicken, half man who's like following you around really close and like balking at you. And it's just really upsetting. And they've got those sliders, the people on the metal
sliders.
Life. Yes.
I think a were chicken is scarier than a werewolf because chickens feel more unpredictable.
100%. 100%.
And they're also dumber. Animals. They don't have any impulse control. Like a dog, you can like shake a can of marbles or coins at it. It'll be like, whoa, it'll like get them out of their head. Yeah. But a chicken, there's no rationalizing with the chicken.
No, I can't think of a single thing you could do to get rid of a chicken that was out of control.
Batter, I guess. I don't know. Deep fry. I don't know.
What else do I like? I guess that was the big one. I'm out of May's stories. I like that one.
Well, speaking of amazing stories,
okay.
Today,
very nice.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, a lot of positive feedback on that transition so far. Today, we're talking about Scream 3. John, what's the deal with Scream 3?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Scream 3. It was directed by Wes Craven, written by Aaron Kruger. And set 3 years after the previous film, it follows Sidney Prescott, who has gone into self-imposed isolation following the events of the previous two films, but who is drawn to Hollywood after a new Ghostface begins killing the cast of the film within a film, Stab 3. It stars David Arquette, Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, Patrick Dempsey, Scott Foley, Lance Henriksen, Matt Keeslar, Jenny McCarthy, Emily Mortimer, Parker Posey, Dion Richmond, and Patrick Warburton. It was released on February 4th, 2000, and made $161.8 million off a budget of $40 million. It was intended to be the final chapter of the series until the franchise was revived in 2011 with Scream 4. Roger Ebert said, "The characters are so thin, they're transparent." Praise Campbell's appearance, saying, "The camera loves her. She could become a really big star," and then giggle a clips of this film at her AFI tribute. Variety praised the film as the end of the trilogy, saying, "Aficionados will be best able to appreciate how wittily Craven has brought down the curtain on his much-imitated genre-reviving series." And that is the deal with Scream 3.
So, Dan, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Scream 3?
Okay, I'll say this right now. I feel 0-for-2 in my appearances for this. As far as picking movies that have like meaning to me, I've now picked two movies that I liked a lot in high school or earlier that okay. I hadn't really seen since.
Okay,
and upon rewatching, because the last one was Toy Soldier.
Soldiers.
Thank you. Respect the text. There's
more than one.
Which was, I was rewatching. I was like, I liked this movie growing up, but I don't care now.
It didn't resonate with you.
But Scream 3, I felt like in the horror genre, it's a horror sequel. So like in the pair, and I do like the Scream series a lot.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of the Scream series, but I haven't seen Scream 3 probably since like 2003 or something like that. So.
Gotcha.
I only half-heartedly stand behind it as a choice.
Do you like Scream? What about Scream 4?
I liked Scream 4. I only watched it recently because I was so worried it would be disappointing. I was like, I thought they were just bleeding that thing dry. And then it was kind of fun. And there's good scares and everyone's good in it. And it's like, they kind of have a pretty good idea of how to like live in that genre and be good, I think.
They know how to make a Scream movie at this point.
They know how to make a Scream movie. Mm-hmm.
So you only seen Scream 3, like this is the first time in like a while?
Yeah, over a decade, I'd say probably.
And what did you think of it? Are you like, oh, this is like underwhelming or it's like.
I spent a lot of the first half being underwhelmed because it is like by its nature, not about Neve Campbell for a lot of it. It's like the Courtney Cox, David Arquette movie in a way.
Well, they only had Neve Campbell for 20 days. She was like making another movie and on a TV show. So they could only have her for 20 days. And
what show?
You can absolutely tell.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some procedure. I don't know. I forget.
A show we won't be seeing at her AFI.
No, tribute.
She'll see that and say, "Take that off. I want nothing to do with this." She'll make a big scene.
But I ended up kind of liking where it went. It's just, there's not the first two put the people in situations where you feel like you would be scared and you can relate to. And this one is like in big Hollywood mansions or where a bunch of the kills are, or like on a studio stage. And it just doesn't really have the same oomph to me.
Absolutely. Okay. But you enjoyed it overall.
I did. Like. Yeah. What'd you all think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John, what'd you think of Scream 3? Seen it before?
I had seen it before. I don't know if I'd seen it in the theater, but Scream 3 for me, The summer of 2000, I was doing summer stock in St. Louis, and me and like two of my favorite chorus boyfriends, we watched it one afternoon and we just obsessively quoted it, mainly because Parker Posey. We just like fell in love with the Parker Posey of it all.
Was this like a thruple?
Not sexually, but yes, we were. It was like the three of us hung out all the time, you know, sort of like three little chorus boys having a great time doing high society and chorus line. And we just, we quoted it constantly, especially like you're obsessed with her and you're obsessed with her daughter.
Yeah.
And so like, I know for some reason, Scream 3 has a reputation as being not as good. I love it. I think it's so funny. I think it's so smart. I understand that a lot of people are kind of don't like it because it leans more comedy than horror than I think the previous ones. But I think it was a response because Columbine had happened between the second and third one, I think. And so that was part of it. But I like this way more than Scream 2. And I just think it's very clever and fun and enjoyable. And again, I think Parker Posey is great in this movie, like literally is always making fun choices. And I delight in watching her the entire time. And I just kind of overall like it. I'm surprised that it has not the best reputation. But how about you, Mark? What do you bring into Scream 3?
Well, leading up to this, I rewatched all of the Scream movies.
Oh, my goodness.
In the last week. And I also did that same thing 2 years ago. And at the time, I was like, oh, my God, Scream 3 is better than Scream 2. Okay. But now I feel this is my least favorite Scream movie. But I will also say there is no bad Scream movie. Like, this is still a good, fun movie. It just, I really miss the Sydney of it all. Like, she is like the heart of the series. And like, she's barely in this. And I just really, you feel that absence. But you have Parker Posey.
Exactly.
And she's amazing, a genius in this movie. She's
absolutely,
like, probably the main reason to what, like, the kills are pretty lame. And then you watch Scream 4 and like, oh, they really upped the violence again. Like, they really made it gory again. And I miss that, like, mix of Scream of like the pop culture, like gay sensibility with like really fucked up mean violence. And I feel like you don't really have that in this, but this is still an entertaining romp, I would say, and a fun time at the movies. So Dan, as you may or may not know, but I hope you remember, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. We'll get to that when we get to that. Stop pestering me about the wheel. Anyways, this is our current top five gayest movies ever made. At number five, with an 89.70%, The Apple. And number four, A New Edition in fourth place is Fame. Wait, what a minute. Hold on. I'm getting breaking news. There has been an update to the scoring system since our last week. There was an error on the scoring system, which on my part, I will fall on the sword for
what happened,
nobody.
Mark?
This is very in the weeds, but instead of calculating the total amount of points out of 2000, it was out of 1700 because when we updated, there was one little column I didn't check. So Fame was in fourth place, but now Fame is in 13th place with an 80.53. Mm-hmm. Okay. So back at fourth place with an 89.81% is indeed the Rocky Horror Picture Show, back where it belongs, some would say. In third place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In second place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one with a 94.83% is Female Trouble. And I should say we have reviewed the original Scream on here, and let me find that. Bear with me. I could just do an alt find and see where. Here we are. 53.32%, and Scream is in 78th place.
So, okay. Dan, if you had to guess now, how do you think Scream 3 is going to do?
I think it'll fare a little higher than Scream 1, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's a slightly different scoring system, so it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. I think it'll be a little higher than Scream 1.
All right.
Or Scream, as we say.
Yeah.
Scream.
Scream. Now, when you all hear the top five, when you say it, do you feel that you're pretty happy with your scoring system? Does that list make you proud of it and feel like, yes, these are
that feels right
up there for the five games?
There's nothing in it that makes me angry. I'll say
yeah.
Is there anything that makes you proud, though? Is there anything that makes you happy?
I mean,
is the absence of anger at all we're going for?
It's been a rough couple of years, Mark. Yes. I'm going to settle for that. How about you, Dan? Do you feel?
I think so. I don't know the Apple.
Dan, what are you doing with your life? You gotta watch the Apple.
It's a disco movie musical from 1980 that is set in the futuristic year of 1996, and was written by cocaine, I think.
Absolutely, and it keeps getting worse in the most delightfully unexpected ways.
You know how a lot of times people say like, "Oh, this movie's bad. You have to watch it," and it like is bad and sort of fun for 15 minutes, and they're like, "Oh, it's just bad." This gives you a new bad every like 5 to 10 minutes. So
I love that.
They're doing something so wrong that it's right.
Okay.
I did feel bad when Fame was in fourth place. I was like, something isn't right here. I just felt off. So then that is why as soon as we stopped recording, I had to invest. I went cell by cell. I'm like, what happened? What went wrong? And then I figured it out. All right, Stan. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. And for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, Dan, how would you score Scream 3 in actual gay characters?
0 to 100?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they don't tell you if Heather Matarazzo's character is gay.
This is true.
That's true.
So a 1?
You're just assuming based on yellow tinted sunglasses.
Yeah, I'm saying it. You know, that's the only one that you know in late 90s, early 2000s Hollywood, that character is is the one that would be presented as gay. So yeah, 1 out of 100.
The only one I thought of that could be is Roman, who's the director, because who else but a gay man would be obsessed with an actress?
But didn't one of them sleep with him to get the part? Was that
that's true? But that's all I had. It was like, well, he's a man obsessed with an actress,
right? I mean, possibly Dion Richmond, possibly maybe? Matt Keeslar. I mean, like, they don't say it. These are just people who, like, we don't hear anything contrary to them being gay.
And it's such a bummer because the movies have such like a gay sensibility, you know?
Yeah, I was having that exact thought when I was watching this one. It's like, yeah, exactly what you said. It would fit in any movie, but would fit like perfectly into this movie.
There wouldn't be like we've got to have a weird scene where like the straight people talk about how uncomfortable the gay person in Scream. You'd be like, no, they're just gay.
Yeah.
But no actual gay people, which is a bummer. And same with Part 4. Maybe the fifth one that comes out next year.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We'll get some gay victims.
It's about to. That's 20%.
Oh, no. Oh, that's Scream 4. This is a problem. There is a gay person in Scream 4.
Okay.
All right, progress. There you go.
It's 25%.
I guess that's the most liberal movie of all time.
Absolutely. So progressive. Give it a flag, a GLAAD award.
Still, every year. And once again, the GLAAD Screamy goes to. Yeah, it's pretty low. I'll give it a 10.
What did you say, Dan? A 4?
I said a 1.
Oh, well, 1. Fair enough. Still for Heather. John's giving it a 10. I'll give it a 3. There's got to be somebody on that film set.
Right.
Giving it a 4.67, which is terrible. All right, but we'll probably make up some points here, I imagine. Gay icons. I mean, you can't throw a rock without him a gay icon in this movie.
We got Parker Posey. You could say Courtney Cox.
I would say absolutely.
What do you think Neve Campbell's like gay? Like, what do you think the gays love Neve Campbell for?
Scream,
the Scream franchise? Okay.
I would say so.
The Craft a little bit, maybe.
That's true. The Craft.
Absolutely.
Also has done well on this podcast.
Carrie Fisher.
Come on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot already about that.
Our queen.
I would say Jenny McCarthy for Log Cabin Republicans would probably like her.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. And Heather Matizzaro. Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Yeah.
What about McDreamy? I just feel just as McDreamy as a reference.
But that still feels like basic white girl to me, McDreamy.
Well, there's basic white gays too.
That is true. What about Wes Craven?
I feel
like you really like him, Mark.
I do, but I don't know if I'd say like, you know, him and Harvey Milk. Peanut butter chocolate.
Sure, right.
I love Wes Craven, don't get me wrong.
Right, he's no John Waters, fair.
This is true. That's a tough bar though, John. Right, yeah.
But is he John Waters? No, it is.
No, it is. Pretty good, I would say.
And what's the this is out of 100 also?
0 to 100.
Correct, 0 to 100. I mean, hearing those listed, I'd say 70.
70.
I'll go 77.
77. I'm going to go 85. And I think like 50 points of that is Parker Posey.
Oh, yeah. I think this is one of her better performances, honestly.
She's great.
I think I was telling Mark this over text, something about like I missed Parker Posey growing up. Like I saw her in movies and thought she was funny. But like now being a little older, I've like been rewatching stuff that she's in and being like and realizing how much of what she's doing is fully original choices that right are now. Like incredibly engaged and incredibly interesting in every single scene. Like there's even one where her and Courtney Cox round a corner and she just rounds the corner funny.
I literally wrote that down. She's just like a half a second later. It's funny. It's so perfect. It's that thing of like, it's perfect for the character. It's perfect for being funny. Like it just works on so many levels. And you're right. It is such a thing of like, she thought of that when she was on set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This wasn't something that like was in the script or that she was like, here's something. It was just like, it felt like she was just so in the moment. Like, what's the craziest, funny thing? Like that line that I was talking about earlier that my friends and I quoted. What we especially love about it is, so Parker Posey says this line like, you're obsessed with her and you're obsessed with her daughter. And the shot stays on her, even though there's like three or four more lines that aren't her, but she just like exhales and does like a grounding exhale after that moment that you could tell the editor and the director were like, we need to keep that moment. And that's like, no one wrote that. It was just like her going for it. And
we're waiting to exhale.
Exactly. That's her waiting to exhale.
That's her waiting to exhale. She's even makes Superman Returns worth watching.
I don't remember that movie at all.
Nor should you.
I don't remember one. I remember seeing it, I think probably the Friday it came out, but I don't remember anything.
You don't remember it. The one action sequence in Superman Returns? That's weird. Interesting. All right. Well, it got a 77.33, which is higher than last week's Fame. Pretty good. And that had shirtless dancers. Are those gay icons? They should have been. All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
It's not really. Like,
not compared to Scream 2, where you have Jerry O'Connell tied up shirtless to like a cross.
That's true. And also like Patrick Dempsey's doing that thing of like, I'm a really skinny, so I'm going to wear like a real like pillowy shirt. So it seems like my torso is bigger. But I will say this. I saw Liev Schreiber had been working out for some other movie when he filmed this. And so the one scene that he's in, he insisted that he take his jacket off so that you could see him with his very nice form-fitting sweater.
I appreciate it. I recently bought a sweater. And so I know how they fit my body. And gotcha. I noticed it on him and was like, oh man, I'm so envious of a body that a sweater would cling to in this way.
Henleys are unforgiving. No. If you're going to don a Henley, be an eagle? I don't know.
Then be an eagle, Liev.
But there's a lot of good-looking guys in this, so I think it's safe to say. Definitely. Matt Keisler's hot. Dewey remains hot. Scott Foley's hot.
That's interesting. I couldn't tell if these guys were hot. Sometimes I felt like it was what like a straight executive's idea of a hot guy would be, but none of them have any.
I would say they're all presence. Soft hot.
Yeah.
Like they're definitely good they're looking. Warm. If your sister was like, here's my boyfriend, and it was Matt Keisler, you'd be like, good for you.
Right.
But he's not someone, they're none of them are like necessarily people who like you're the hottest guy in the room. They're not always the hottest
guy. I don't
guy
know.
In the room.
Scott Foley.
Scott Foley? Interesting.
You don't think?
I think he's cute.
He was on a CW show. He was on Felicity.
That always confused me. Because I knew him from this before I knew him. And then I was like, this is a CW guy? I don't see it.
I thought he was better than that.
No, I just don't see him as a heartthrob. I don't see him like as
those lips, those
pulse
eyes.
Quickener.
No pulse quickening when he comes on the screen for me.
Wow. There's also I didn't get his name, but there's a cute security guard at one point. I remember who that is? Absolutely not. But I wrote it down in my notes 3 days ago.
Okay.
So who knows?
Do you ever watch on Prime with the X-ray thing where it just tells you everything?
I do when you pause it. Pause it, that's
an incredible feature.
It's incredible. But it also makes me feel like
if parents knew that feature existed, they would rejoice.
I also feel bad for the intern or whoever who has to compile all that information.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, do I need to get every person in this scene? You're like, oh, yeah. Like it just seems so laborious.
But one of them,
but there
too,
are people
like,
whose brains love doing that. So
I think that's true. There was a goof in there that was like the lip sync was off in this one. And it's like, that's not a goof. I don't need to see that.
Do better.
That was a mistake. That was unintentional.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
I am judging it compared to the other ones where I think it's a lot more smoldering, the guys sure. that are hotties. Did we say Oliphant already in the second one?
We haven't mentioned him, but yeah.
Thank you.
And I think in comparison to the other ones, it really is a drop.
Well, there's no sex in this one either. There's
yeah. I got it like 20?
20.
Ooh. I'm going to go 55.
Wow.
55.
I can't go first anymore. I feel like I'm being too hard on everything.
Don't worry about it.
I think I'm lower, but I don't think this, I think it should be low. So it's, Dan, I think it's okay that I'm
right.
lowering it.
So I did make an average. That's why. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry, Dan. Your opinion means nothing to us. Just relax and ease your mind.
Mark's not actually writing it down. He's just writing it on his score. And,
and then he just averages out his own.
Yeah. But it got I gave it a 60, so it got an average of 45, which is pretty good.
Okay.
That's all right.
60 you gave it.
Yeah.
What else is around a 60 level on your list?
Let me click to another tab. This is a nightmare.
Elvira,
Mistress of the Dark got a 57.
That's less to you than Scream 3.
That's
huh?
the total average. I didn't give Elvira. I gave Elvira a 46. I gave it lower, but what's a 60? Let's
a Mark Rennie 60?
What's a that's a Mark Rennie 60, I tell you. Oh, I gave The Man from U.N.C.L.E. a 69. I was being a horny little bit.
A little cheeky. Yeah.
A little cheeky.
And that had, who's in that? That's got some real hunks.
Henry Cavill, the unfortunate Army Hammer.
The unfortunately hungry.
Yeah. Oh, he's unfortunately hungry. All right. Have you seen, there's an Instagram he posted years and of him like buying an at-home drug test, like taking a photo of it in his car.
No.
Huh. And it
to
was
test
when he,
himself?
Yeah.
Have I taken drugs?
Yeah. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, this is chock full of them.
I mean, yes. Ghostface can't leave a room, enter a room without any pizzazz.
Yes.
Ghostface. Also, Neve Campbell, like when she and Dewey first reunite, there's like this swelling of romantic music. And then 2 minutes later, she gets the same music when she sees Patrick Dempsey for the first time.
She's got a theme.
Yeah.
They also gave Sydney's old house on the set, like the recreation of the house, like had its moment, which was really fun.
Yeah. Remember
definitely.
This?
That Parker Posey coming around the corner a split second after Courtney Cox.
Even oh, go ahead.
There's a very funny one when Patrick Dempsey just gets like punched by Ghostface, which I thought was very,
was
like,
incredible.
Why is Ghostface punching people now? That feels like such a de-heightening. He's just punching people.
Yeah, that was a big comedy punch for sure.
Yeah.
There also was that whole section of just jump scares of them each like coming in and everyone else being like, ah.
Yeah. What that was when they call all their names and then they show up and they're scared of them. Patrick Warburton's, I would say, spoiler alert, his death is even a pretty good scene stealing entrance.
And he shows up and they all watch him die. That's
Oh, that was a fun one. But no one approaches him to help.
No, they're too freaked out.
He's Republican.
He's staff, right?
Oh, no. Is that true?
It is true. Yeah.
I guess I'm not that surprised. But.
You'll never be able to ride Soarin' Over California the same way again.
Oh, no. The only thing I can think of that would be negative about the Disney Corporation.
That's it.
Hiring Patrick Warburton.
If you do ride Soarin', someone once told me that apparently Patrick Warburton was hungover AF when he filmed that video.
Oh, really?
What?
Like in between shots, he was like throwing up in a bucket. That's
really?
What I heard from someone.
You know?
That's a great little tidbit.
He's a total pro.
That's a fun little tidbit, right?
He's a pro. Yeah,
he's
a pro. He did the job.
He's like out with his friends, like, tomorrow I'm filming some bullshit video for Disney. Another round.
All right. So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
85. I think there's a ton of pizzazz here. Jay and Silent Bob have a little pizzazz, I would say, even.
Yeah, sure.
Heather Matarazzo has a little pizzazz.
Yeah,
she
sort of like stumbles in.
Even Jamie Kennedy's video entrance is a bit pizzazzy.
That's true.
Absolutely. I mean, that's when you know you're in the hands of a good director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knows how to make a moment.
I'm going to go 94.
94.
I think it's pretty pizzazzy.
I'll go 90. Pretty pizzazz. Give an average of 89.67. That's pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety would this movie give Mike Pence? He was the vice president, Dan.
Of Paramount?
of Paramount. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, we're gonna lose a fortune when this comes out.
So what would make him anxious? Obviously, people who have are a certain sexuality and it can't be changed by a camp, that would make him anxious.
Sure. Although there's not a lot of gay people in this movie.
Yeah, he'd be fine. And this is a perfect little bubble.
I mean, he'd be anxious about the violence, certainly.
The violence. I think the promiscuity of all the actresses, like almost every single one of them, like, I didn't sleep with someone to get this movie for nothing, you know.
But I think what he would like about all that promiscuity is how it paints Hollywood.
That's what I think, too. Saying, I was like, this is like a warning.
His negative stereotypes.
So I don't know that it would make him super anxious. What else would there be in there? Yeah, not a ton. I'd say like a 25.
Because this is even like the least violent, least horny of all of them.
Yeah.
A 25.
I get what you're saying. My feeling, though, is like if he and Mother sat down to watch this movie, there'd be a lot of, I don't know, Mother, I don't know.
It's true.
I will give it a 73.
Because it is still a horror movie with a lot of stabbing.
I will
even
say
a knife going into a body might make him think of like sex or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
There should be a condom on that knife.
No, there shouldn't. God will know. God will.
Oh, I see. I'm so confused about how that abstinence works. I'm putting condom on my knife. I should say Christian Spotlight on the Movies did review this. They rated it very offensive, but in the review, they were more offended by like, it's just not as good as the others. They said
they've got some closeted queen running. That
they
website.
Said it's only for. It's only for fans. Well, it was reviewed by Hillary Hunter. Maybe that's an acronym or a pseudonym.
That sounds like such a gay man's drag, like movie reviewer name.
I'm hunting for Hillary. Like they're probably working for Hillary Clinton.
No, well, yeah, but like, what's her name? Who is that gossip? Luella Parsons or Hedda Hopper?
Oh, sure.
That's this is my Hedda Hopper.
I'll give it a 50. I think this is right in the middle. Giving it a 49.33, which is lower. I brought it down
pretty far with my 25.
You're fine. It's like 40 points lower than Fame.
I think Fame would freak Mike Pence out more.
There are gay characters in that.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. And by this, we mean feisty women.
Gail Weathers.
We love Gail Weathers.
Other than like the blonde women who get killed in the Scream movies, all of the women are pretty feisty, I would say.
I think so. Yeah. Sydney.
Yeah.
She even like Kelly Rutherford at the beginning. She's pretty feisty.
Yeah. She gets a good Jennifer Jolie, Parker Posey. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, her and Courtney Cox, I thought were so fun together. I was surprised. I was like, there's got to be some like sisters script out there that the two of them should do or like some sitcom. They'd be great.
Yeah. I would watch that.
Even if it's a multicam?
You hate multicams, I know.
Yes, I would watch it.
You'd watch the pilot and then decide.
I would decide based on what is famously the worst episode ever.
But how did they end up living together? I gotta know.
Set it up for
me.
They're
so different.
Nothing would make sense otherwise.
I have to go back and watch the other two Scream movies. Courtney Cox, they really...
Not the HBO Max series?
Not the HBO Max
That's very good.
I'm going to go back and watch
You're friends with
too,
one of the stars. It's weird.
I'll go back and rewatch that too, but I've already seen it recently. They really thinned out Courtney Cox's eyebrows to like hell.
Well, it's those bangs. Those bangs.
And the bangs.
The
yeah, that was the R&L second thing. Is just like... Oof. It looks like they're trying to cover up that she's balding in this movie.
Who is she? Me? Also, I did like Jenny McCarthy complaining about another goddamn rewrite.
Yeah.
It's sad that Jenny McCarthy's good in this because she's such a cuckoo ding dong.
Bananas, yeah.
Ding dong.
I'll say it to her face.
What? She's a host of The Masked Singer. You can't call her a ding dong.
Get off the stage, a ding dong.
Oh, you're gonna get Ken Jeong mad at you, Mark.
Mark, you're such a self-sabotager. You were in the running to be the next judge.
Me? I would love that. Anytime someone says, because I've only seen clips, and it's always like Ken Jeong saying, "Is it Barack Obama?" Like, no, of course not. Jesus Christ. We'd be lucky to get Malia Obama. Right. She's interning at DreamWorks, probably.
Oh, you think she's still interning? I hope that.
Oh, she's an exec.
Yeah, I hope that they just are like, hey, let's cut the bullshit. We know what's happening here. Just,
you know, we have to spend so much money on security for you as a PA. Yeah. This does not make any sense.
Can we just give you a salary and you never come in and never do anything? That would work out best for everyone.
You want to hang out at Video Village? Fine, great, do that.
Yeah, here's your headphones, hang out. I would say, yeah, like I'd say 95. I would 95. Say it's full of feisties.
Yeah, I'm going to go 92.
92. And that is like a fun theme of like the Scream series, especially that all the there's no one who's like just a helpless victim. Like they call that out as part of the text. I'll give it a 93. Give an average of 93.33, which is 3.33 points higher than Fame. And that had women in actual heels. That's true. All right. Our next category, a chosen family.
I think anytime you're making a movie, the actors and the crew become a chosen family.
Yeah, but I didn't really buy it. Did you all buy it between these actors?
No, they didn't seem to like each other very much.
Yeah. Emily Mortimer really, she went pretty huge in this one, I felt.
She did.
And she's been good in things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hasn't she?
Well, she's British, so I just assume she's good.
Right.
I think that the chosen family of Dewey, Sydney, Gail, and whoever they kind of pair up with in the movie is always a pretty strong...
that troop
triangle. Yeah, so I would give them some power, but beyond that,
what about the overall presence of the band Creed? Are they not a chosen family? They have a song on the soundtrack and a poster on the wall.
Yes, there they replace go. I was trying to remember what her poster was from the Scream one that they're recreating in that room, because I know it's also kind of a funny one, but I can't remember.
I don't remember.
So yes, Creed is a chosen family.
Nice.
Thank you. With arms Creed wide heads. Open, they let you add to it.
Pretty low, though. 55?
55.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. I'll go 55 as well.
You know what? I'll go 55. Are we a chosen family?
Yes.
Yes,
55,
we are.
Fam.
I'm happy to choose you.
And I you.
Don't tell Sammy Hagar.
We can... choose 55.
Not me.
That was a really good Sammy Hagar impression, Mark.
Thank you. I needed you to hear it right now. Okay. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is Scream 3? Well, the first thing I wrote down, that LA traffic.
Oh, right? My gosh.
The what first thing worse? You see in the movie.
Stuck at the Hollywood Bowl traffic, too.
There.
The worst of those.
Probably doesn't matter if you're seeing a show or not. Yeah.
No, you'll be stuck in it. I was trying to think, not that it really matters, but they were like relatively accurate with like his route home there.
Oh, sure.
He got
I think
off
so.
Near Capitol Records. He turned left to Pantages.
But there's a sign there that says... Downtown Hollywood. I'm like, where the hell is downtown Hollywood? There's no such place.
I couldn't tell if it was a sign. I had the same moment where it was saying, go this direction to go towards Hollywood and downtown is
right.
This way, like south. Or if they were saying downtown Hollywood, which is crazy to put into a movie.
Doesn't happen.
Did you guys live in Hollywood in 2000?
No.
Okay, John, you have to call us out like that.
I'm
no,
just saying, because I mean, as someone who's more of an East Coaster, that didn't bother me, but I get it. I was just wondering, maybe they did exist.
Yeah.
Stopped existing.
Maybe, but like the font on the sign didn't look real. It looked like a fake sign. Like the font was too big.
It was someone had printed it out on a printer.
It didn't look like Helvetica to me.
But then my question, I wasn't here in 2000, so I don't know what that area was like. But if he's driving past the Pantages to get home, he's got a TV show. Where's he going? Where does he live in this apartment complex?
Maybe it's Los
condo.
Feliz?
Maybe.
And the films in Culver City, maybe?
Could be.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I'd buy it. I don't know. That's my LA opinion of the
that
macabre.
Wouldn't happen, right?
No. I think it was funny when his girlfriend mentions that Cotton liked to play stab games.
Yeah,
that's very twice. Macabre, I think.
Yeah.
Especially someone who's been accused, spent time in prison for a murder.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, I guess he's got that gallows humor that we all hear about.
Sure.
I've heard about it.
Like when you're a nurse or a doctor, like we got to laugh about this stuff. Otherwise, we go crazy.
Got to laugh.
I think the ghost of your mother haunting your dreams is pretty macabre.
All that stuff was really fun.
Yeah. And yeah, I also think anytime you start a video with, if you're watching this tape, it means I'm dead. That's pretty macabre.
Yeah.
But it also seemed like a fun improv game.
Like instead of living room, we just say like tapes from beyond the grave.
You have to say that. Everyone has to do the tape of like, I'm dead because this is what happened and here's what you need to know.
That would be very fun. And macabre.
Yep. Very macabre. Sydney has a poster up from the play she did in Scream 2.
Mm.
But no in way. That play, she killed two people on the set.
Tough memory. Yeah,
that's the friends you make. The friends you
but
make.
But isn't that weird? Like, wouldn't that be college. The first thing you think of? Like, oh, right, I killed what's his face's mother, mm-hmm. Mrs. Loomis.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, maybe that's what brings her solace.
Oh, right. Like, they're dead.
They're dead.
Oh yes, it's not at all the memory of doing the play. She sees it. She remembers that
it's
they're
like a
dead.
Receipt for their death. Right.
Oh right, they're dead.
I mean, generally, just someone's life being consistently tormented by people who are obsessed with her.
Sure.
Right.
Because her mom was promiscuous is essentially the right. story. That's pretty macabre.
And also just the whole thing about like powerful men, like the main producer is like a Harvey Weinstein figure in a movie produced by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. I wonder what his notes were during that casting session.
Hopefully nothing. Keep your mouth shut.
I don't want to fuck any of these people. Cast who you want.
Finally, pig.
I thought someone under 30 worrying about the future felt macabre. You're fine. Shut up.
Don't worry. You got a lot of time.
Yeah, you got a lot of time to figure
your
out.
Your skin looks great. You'll be fine.
You could abandon this career entirely. Go to college, start a new one. You'll be fine.
That I think I would say, I mean, just the act of the ghost faced.
Sure. I mean, people are murdered.
Yeah, I'd say
people
it's like
are murdered.
99.
99. Indeed, one of the most macabre movies you've ever seen.
I'm going to go 92. I think it's very macabre, but there is still some fun in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 85 just because there's not a lot of gore. And all the killings are pretty like tame. They're just like simple stabbings.
Simple stabbings.
Oh, not just that, but all right.
I guess there's a gas explosion, but that's like bloodless, you know? Yeah. It just feels like safe. Just
Sure.
But it got an average of 92, which is 2 points lower than Fame. Well, that makes sense. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting.
Mm.
There's
that Maureen's night walk look great when she's like walking through the woods up to Sydney's house. That looked really fun.
There's like the helicopter spotlights at the top of the movie.
Mm-hmm. That whole basement
going on.
Yeah, the basement.
Doing shorts the lights. He like shorts the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole having the final scene be like wall A film reel of her mom.
Yeah,
right.
He's going. That's dramatic. But there's not. I mean, there's like horror movie dramatic lighting, but there's not dramatic lighting that's like notably different than most horror movies or that like makes this stand out to me. I always remember the pool outside Drew Barrymore's house in the first one with that's good lighting. This one doesn't have as much of that.
That's also just an inherent, like the fact that it seems to be like, I'm not quite sure, like Napa or wherever it is, that there's like, it is nice homes, but they're also like isolated from each other and like these hills. It just makes it more inherently creepy setting as opposed to like, just Hollywood.
Yeah, your neighbor there could be a mass murder happening in your next door neighbors and you'd have no idea.
Yeah.
As opposed
Which
to here, you'd
nice
hear
and
it.
Bad. Right.
Yeah. In LA, you'd hear it, but then just be annoyed and not do anything. You'd go on next door.
Exactly.
Anyone else hearing this
here?
Murder?
My child has to sleep.
I mean, and it's also, I think this is why it's a little less scary, is it's like, oh, like I said, always on movie sets and stuff like that. You don't feel like the drama of it. So I'd put it pretty low, like 35.
35.
I get what you're saying, but I still think the lighting is pretty dramatic and fun. I'm going to go 76.
Fuck.
God. Wow. So I guess you're a big homophobe, Dan, is what we've learned by your score and dramatic lighting.
Glad we've brought you back to prove the point.
Well, I'm glad to stand behind that.
Fair enough. That... I'm going to give it a 60 in dramatic lighting. Give it an average of 57. Finally, the last of the canon categories. Dan, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Scream 3 to a gay person?
Mm. 0 to 100.
0 to 100.
I would recommend Scream 3 equally to anybody, and I would put it around 80.
80.
No, even higher, 90.
90.
Okay. So if a gay person's like, I've never seen Scream 3, you're like, go home.
You stupid bitch.
Yeah.
You call yourself a bottom. You make me sick.
Could you imagine if I said that to somebody's face?
They'd love it.
How dare you?
You're in a movie.
You're the most pathetic bottom I've ever encountered.
I've heard of sloppy bottoms, but you take the cake.
Do a sloppy, but lazy? Uninformed bottoms? No.
Unforgivable.
Get out of my sight, bitch.
Yeah. Damn, that's too far. We'll edit that out. We'll edit that out for you. For your sake.
No, leave it.
Okay. Double down.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, me and my friends, we had we made a feast off of this movie. And I think Parker Posey really is great. I'll go 87.
Yeah. 87, surprising. Mm. Yeah, I think I would recommend the whole franchise. Like, if you've never seen the Scream movie, just start from the beginning. But also, Scream 3 is, like, for the Parker Posey of it all. If you're doing a Parker Posey completionist, you have to watch Scream 3.
Mm-hmm. What's your Mount Rushmore there? If you're a Parker Posey completionist,
I would say
you
Party
got
Girl.
For Guffman, Party Girl.
Also, Best in Show.
Mm-hmm.
What about Lost in Space? Season 1 and 2. She's the doctor.
Then we're talking shows.
Wow. All right. I'll watch those and I'll let you know if they belong on there.
You don't need to watch Lost in Space. It's fine. Well, it got an average of 90.67, which is about 5.67 points higher than Fame.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Okay. All right, now we are into the wheel categories.
Spinning wheel. Spinning through.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in, and we've put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So what's going to happen is we're going to spin it once, and whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. Then I will pick a category from the wheel, and we'll use that. And then Mark will pick a category from a wheel. And then finally, you, Dan, will come up with a category which we will add to the wheel, which we could use to potentially judge future movies.
Wonderful.
Make sense? All that stuff we were talking about earlier?
Yes.
You got so mad
about
it.
It paid off.
I'm glad you finally explained it.
Okay, here we go. Scooter as transportation.
Scooter as transportation. That's from our Pieces of April episode.
Right.
The closest thing would have to be, do they ever use like a golf cart?
They don't even use a golf cart.
Yeah.
Which is a real letdown. Yeah. You don't even see any nuns or astronauts.
Right. Yeah.
They always have characters making movies that are never made.
Right.
I guess a zero, right?
I get, right?
You could say that Cotton Weary scooters through traffic with his driving techniques.
Okay. True. There you go.
You're really trying to make it work.
Not even roller skates.
Not even roller skates.
Not even roller skates. In the 2000s in Hollywood, not even roller skates.
Yeah, big mansion. You got to find ways to get places faster.
I guess you couldn't and post Columbine.
Yes.
Imagine if the Columbine shooters wore roller skates. Wouldn't that be
and
even
wheelies?
Worse?
Could you imagine?
That'd be so humiliating.
Really bad branding.
You're having fun? You're being whimsical? You assholes. Yeah, I don't think there's any scooters in here. There's maybe in the background a golf cart, I'm sure, somewhere.
There's got to be.
I mean, not enough that it would, you know, not in a way that it gazed the movie up at all.
Absolutely. No. You're so right.
No, you're
there.
Correct.
So I'd have
more
to say,
pandering.
I'd have to say a two.
A two. Tough but fair.
Yeah, I'll go three.
Three. I'm going to have to go zero. Well, I'll give one for Liev Schreiber scooting through that Hollywood
traffic. There you go.
Giving it a two. All right. Now it's time for John to come up with it, to add a category, to a category.
I'm going to pick a category from a movie you may remember called Toy Soldiers.
Oh.
And that category was angry phone hangups.
Oh.
And I think the Scream franchise
category
in general has got a lot of
on lockdown.
Pretty much constant.
Yeah, scared. Oh, he's constantly angry at the hangups, the ghost face. But yeah, scared.
He'll stab you for hanging up on him.
Absolutely, he'll get you like a fish.
The level of the like high, the technology they use for the voice changing is like Star Trek level at this point. It's like so powerful and perfect.
That bothered me on this rewatch more than when I was a teenager watching these movies or whatever age. Yeah, it was like, okay, this is too crazy that he can just mimic every single.
But I guess it's okay in the first two because it's just doing one voice and like, yeah, well, that now makes sense. Voices, you
know? Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a machine they made or whatever. I don't
right.
know.
I also loved in this movie, though, when Courtney Cox and David Arquette find it, they're like, oh, this is the device that he's using to mimic all of our voices and do this and that. And you're like, really? You know how to do that? Yeah, it looks like a thing you hold to like count people walking into a theater, yeah. But okay.
Although maybe yeah. I would imagine after your experiences in Scream 1 and 2, you're going to keep up on what's happening in portable voice changing technology.
That is true.
It might be a passion project.
Sure.
They were a little too late on this technology, though, I would say.
Right.
Yeah. They fell for it already. Every single time.
Yes.
It was a fun looking gadget, though. Like, oh, I'd like to see that in a Planet Hollywood. That'd be fun.
Sure. Yeah.
Or like a necklace.
A love, beautiful necklace.
That would be a gorgeous piece. Necklace.
Yeah.
Very
absolutely.
Statement. Let's just say it speaks for itself.
And anyone else at this party.
I mean, it's high here, Angry Hangups. It's, you know, I'd go as far as to say, I'm going to say 95. I wanted to say 100. Mm-hmm. Say 95.
I'm going to say 95 as well, because Neve Campbell does a lot of like therapy with people in trauma. So I'm sure she's like being very gentle when she hangs up with them.
Those are some.
Yes, Neve Campbell is very good in these movies.
She's great. Right? She does insane things, and she does it believably.
Yeah.
I was listening to a bit of the director's commentary, and like Wes Craven was talking about how like she's able to have her eyes fill up with tears, but not spill over for like really sustained periods of time. And he's never seen an actress be able to do that before. Like they just don't, the tears don't fall, but her eyes are welled.
Yeah.
You can tell she's, but because that's the thing. We want the struggle. We don't just want the struggle. We want to see you're fighting to not cry, but boy, do you
want
to cry.
We want it to be, we want emotional edging is what we want.
Exactly.
Don't give us that release.
Third movie.
Yes.
I was there. I mean, that's another good piece of merch if you're looking for one.
Emotional edging?
Yeah.
Sure.
Put that on a pillow.
And bite it.
This is bite here for emotional edging.
I'm going to give it 100 for Angry Phone Hang. Because if not this, then what? You know?
True.
By the way, I got to say, that's a great category. I got to pat myself
really
on
good
the back
category.
There.
It
that's
is.
That's a good one.
We
doesn't
love
get
it.
The love it deserves.
All right, it's time for me to come
right,
up with
Mark,
a category.
What have you got?
There are quite a few to choose from. Mm-hmm. I almost did musical callback for Red Right Hand, but I decided not to. And this time I instead went with from your podcast compatriot, Ryan Rosenberg, Julia and Julia. I'm going with Aggressive Haircut.
Okay.
Because of those aforementioned awful bangs.
Very
I would say haircut. They're iconic, but in the worst way.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. They are to the Rachel. I don't whatever. I don't know what shit is to a toilet. I can't finish that analogy.
Clogged turd. Uh-huh.
I've always felt that Arquette's hair is like oddly a little aggressive in these movies. There's something notable. Maybe it's the mustache that makes
I think
it
it's
the like.
Mustache where he's like having fun. Of like,
he's got a lot of gel, or he's got a lot of product in these, where he's slicked.
I also thought Parker Posey's like chunky highlights.
Yes, you're right.
And then when she's like at home, she has them in those like weird buns.
Those weird little knots. That's bizarre. Yeah. With that cigarette, super fun.
Apparently, David Arquette told Courtney Cox, like, get bangs to look like Betty Page. And boy, did they miss.
Wow. I suppose taking fashion advice from him in hindsight was not the best idea.
He's really into wrestling, so I don't know why you would say that.
That's how we know who Betty Page is.
Yeah.
I'd say 68.
68.
It's there, but it's not everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot. I will go 65.
65. I'll go 70. And you know, Red Right Hand is not in Scream 4. And does it suffer?
Wow.
I'm going to say yes. Yeah.
Yes. You got to hear Red Right Hand.
And they recorded a new version for this one.
They did. I loved it.
All
right,
it
Dan.
Sounded different.
That one, the cave is way ahead of you. All right, Dan, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to add to the wheel. And maybe one day it'll become canon or bonus.
Wow, this is tough. I'm not the first person to say it. It's tough. I don't think this has a lot of it, but it's a thought I have because you see it on the shoes all the time.
Okay.
Close-ups of people lacing up outfits. You know those shots of like close-ups of outfits being tightened onto somebody.
You see him like a lot of like Victorian movie where women are getting put into corsets.
Or like a Batman movie.
Or a Batman movie. Or a Rambo.
Yeah, it's all very
there's like a fetish element to all of that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Being cinched.
Cinched
to the gods, some would say.
Cinched to the gods. Is that a saying?
I think so.
You could.
Isn't any collection of words a saying? Let's lower the bar for what sayings are.
That's what we need more of.
It's been said.
Yeah. We don't need all your gatekeeping about what is and isn't a saying, Dan. I like getting cinched.
Yeah,
showing
cinched. All right,
cinched.
Which I don't even know if we see it here. We see boots lowering into frame.
Yeah,
maybe a couple times.
Do people tie their shoes?
Oh fuck! I've come up with one that doesn't even work for this movie.
Okay, well I think we could always come up with another one.
No.
But I do like this.
I like it as a category, so we're gonna.
What are other ways we could think of it as? Like in the way of like stealing yourself,
being
like hurting your loins in a way.
It feels like getting
like being like, all right, we're going into battle. Like there's something about that whenever we see those shots.
Yeah, it's usually pre-battle.
I feel like Sydney must have a few things like that.
Yeah.
You but say, also, like, her, like going home and like locking her door five times.
Dewey and Gale get tied to chairs.
That's true. There's some cinching there.
I don't know if we saw them get tied to chairs because
we don't need to, but
we see the after effects of getting cinched.
We do.
We see them, we go, they got cinched.
That's a cinching.
I leaned over in the theater and said, cinched.
Oh, damn, they got cinched.
I like you trying to broaden it out for this movie, John, but I'm going to stick with cinched and just I'm going to lay in the bed I made here. It might not work for this movie, but I like it as a category.
Okay.
You're being orthodox. You're taking it literally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm being orthodox.
Very Old
about
Testament.
My biblical cinchings. And so for this one, it's probably pretty low. It's probably like a, 20.
I'll give it a 35.
35. Yeah.
Has anyone added gay sex as a category here yet?
We've had does a high school jock get penetrated?
Right.
Which that's pretty gay. Do you want to add? Does gay sex happen here?
It also wouldn't help with this movie. So.
That would have been my category instead of cinching, but
that's a good one too.
But I like cinching.
Most movies would not get it to their own detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now we are into the bonus categories. Extra,
extra. So these categories, as the name implies, are bonus. So they're just extra points. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it doesn't work against the movie. And so we're going 0 to 10 for all of these.
All right, and the first one is musical potential. Could you see this Scream 3 being turned into a musical?
Yeah, 8.
Yeah. Right. No debate.
Sorry, in my mind, bonus meant lightning round, but
I like that though.
I could absolutely see
something about like the
musical.
Hollywood setting like helps
definitely
that too.
Yeah.
For like 42nd Street.
That montage of her in the set of her old house, like that's a dream ballet, my friend.
Oh yeah,
that right
that's
there.
A dream ballet.
That's a dream ballet.
Oh, and it comes right at the right place, right before intermission. The dream ballet.
Dream ballet.
I think you could punch up the cops as like a comedic doofusy foil there. Have them
definitely.
You got like 7 Officer Krupkes.
Yeah, 7 Krupkes.
Wouldn't be improved by having Officer Krupke sung 7 times.
It's mostly Krupkes, this musical.
So, oh God,
they
we
keep
went to
dying,
Oops All Krupkes.
And then they bring it back.
Oops All Krupkes. Well, it doesn't work, but we've invested a lot of money. I think it could be a musical. What do you think, John?
I think definitely. I mean, also, I was in a musical version of Scream 1, but I think this
is true
as well.
I'm sure all the stabbing and the chasing and all of that would be great little choreographed.
Especially since there isn't such great, an iconic, stabbing in this or anything. There's nothing like...
Right. You could reinvent it and people wouldn't be like, but you're not doing that one thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9.
9. I'll give it a 9. There haven't been enough slasher musicals, if you ask me.
I second it.
Let's have more fun with genre. All right, our next category, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this? I think Parker Posey has a queer menace energy to Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's something queer about like a doppelganger,
Yeah, I thought that would be really weird to see someone who's like, oh, someone's making a movie of your life. And you'd be like, oh, you're the actor who's playing me.
Yeah.
Against your will. And like, right. The actor also hates you.
Yeah. And is trying to fuck your
Won't
ex.
Go away. Right.
Yeah. There's levels.
A lot to play.
If you want to imagine that the Roman character is gay, you could consider him queer menace.
Suppose.
But wanting to get back at like your half sister doesn't feel very queer to me. Unless it's like a V.C. Andrews book.
I think
wanting to get pretty back queer at to your me half to
be
sister.
Like, I was supposed to be the pretty one.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, that's it. I mean, unless Ghostface inherently feels like a queer icon.
Sure.
I mean, that character's
you're really committed to that, Mark. I guess.
Sure.
Yes. Oh, Mark Rennie thinks Ghostface is the queer icon.
The queer icon. Tear down that statue of Boy George.
Don't tear it down. We'll just redo that.
Just add a ghost face to it.
Yeah. Put a mask over it. It's fine.
Put a little robe on him.
Now he's a karma chameleon. What do you want to give this for queer menace?
5.5.
5.5.
I think it's pretty low. I'll give it a 1.
1. I'll give it a 3. Most of that's for Hollywood.
Sure.
Giving it a 3.17%, which is 2.17 points higher than Fame. That's pretty good. All right. Our next one. You might make up some points here. Character actress makes a big swing.
Okay.
I mean, we got
Parker Posey.
Posey.
We got Posey.
We got Posey. All you need is 1.
All you need is 1. Yeah, sure.
I mean, you could say the rest are kind of in their lane. Although yeah. I like that, like, Courtney Cox does punch Parker Posey, so she takes a swing.
A fun reinvention swing. From
right.
the first
She's been
one.
Punched the first two, yeah.
She's been punched.
I kind of feel that Gail Weathers is a big swing for Courtney Cox. It just becomes normal for her because she plays it so many times.
I think this is, like, her best. I like her better in this than in Friends.
Same.
Yeah.
It's there's layers to Gail, like especially when you watch the beginning, fun. How she's almost just like outright a villain. But then I like the through line of her and Dewey's relationship, which makes me excited for the fifth one because now they're like separated. Like, oh, we saw them like kind of flirt in the first one, and the second one they're dating. Now they're married. Then there's trouble with their marriage in the fourth one, and then apparently it doesn't work out.
Huh.
Life imitating art or art imitating life?
Who can say?
Who can
say? Answer from the dance, right?
I'll say an 8. Parker Posey's. I mean, it's on her Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
yeah. I will also give it an 8.
8. I'm sure there's people screaming at us for forgetting something essential from Parker Posey.
Let's actually, you know what? Let's see what is on like her top 4 of her IMDb. Let's see what that is. Parker Posey. It is. Scream 3 is number 1, then Superman Returns, then Blade Trinity, and then Dazed and Confused. We forgot Dazed and Confused. She's pretty great in that. I would not put Superman Returns or Blade Trinity on her Mount Rushmore.
You wouldn't?
Though. I would not.
Okay. I'll give it an 8, and character actress makes a big swing. And the next category, witches. How witchy is this?
It's the witchiest of the Scream films just because of those nightmare
ghosts?
Sequences. Ghosts.
Which apparently are real, I guess, but then not. Like, how was he doing that? It's kind of
more real. The times where she thought her mom was coming.
But like when she actually sees like the face of her mother.
Yeah.
No, that was not real. That was a dream.
A dream.
But then Ghostface just happens to smash the glass at the time.
And then
she
woke up for that after that. You probably stepped out of the room for a second.
I did not for this one.
You were probably on X-ray.
Yeah.
I was looking at my X-ray. I have these movies on Blu-ray, Dan. How dare you? But I do run X-ray simultaneously on a laptop.
Oh, really?
No.
Smart. Very smart. I mean, you've got a whole fucking spreadsheet here. I don't know.
I got a spreadsheet, baby.
Where were we? Oh, witchiness.
There's also something about that voice-changing tech. Like, it's almost magic at this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
There is something
they even say
about.
That about in Jimmy Kennedy's speech. It's like he's supernatural. You can't kill him. You can't do this. Like,
yeah.
It's an extra thing.
But in the spirit of why I imagine witchiness is a category,
from Supergirl.
I don't think from Supergirl.
Yes.
I don't think that it's like witchiness in a campy sort of queer
this
way.
This is no Hocus Pocus, right. Sure.
Yeah, so I would say like five.
Five.
Because the ghost sequences are the like dream.
Yeah,
those are creepy. Very. Those, you could put those right into a witch movie.
Sure.
Not the witch. The time would make sense.
You pronounce it properly.
The witch. Yeah. I respect Robert Eggers.
I will give it. I agree. It's sort of like there's some witchiness to it, but it doesn't feel like actually witch is more supernatural. I'll give it a three.
Three. I'll go to four. I'll give an average of four. All right. Next category. This one might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles. Oof. Nothing. Because there's no real.
Heather Matarazzo.
That's it. You said it perfectly.
But like, what has she, have they proclaimed their sexual identity?
I have no idea.
I think Heather Matarazzo did the first or second Ass Cat I ever did, but I don't remember it coming up. So that's my input on that.
You didn't scream that
afterwards.
From the...
like, do you like the pole or the hole?
Or maybe
well,
both.
We did pole or hole with the audience.
Yeah.
Pole and or hole.
Oh, she is like she was married. She had a girlfriend.
Okay.
She's married to a lady named Heather.
Oh, that's fun. Two Heathers.
Speaking of doppelganger.
But is that role? Like she's barely like she's just more like oh that's a sister not like a she's sure. You know she can't be a lesbian and a sister that's too much for that one
much,
scene
oh too much information her as an actress yeah. And the audience
yeah and she'd be like schizophrenic she? Yeah
it's being and a sister too many very deep character developments.
Yeah yeah too it's a hat
they
on
really
a hat.
Work against each other
so I guess I'll say one
sure.
Yeah, I'll also say one.
You know, I'll go two, just in case.
Movies, thank you. I don't know this for sure, but they must be cast by someone who casts indie movies. Because like Liev Schreiber, and I know he's in the first one, but like he and Parker Posey were in like Day Trippers.
Yeah.
In like 90, whatever, five. And it feels like Heather Matarazzo would only be in this for the same reason. Or that it's like the Dimension family or something.
Right.
Right. Or it's Miramax. So
Miramax, yeah.
Welcome to the Dollhouse a Miramax
maybe.
Movie or no?
I think so. But I mean, that was the time like indie movies were like people would go to see them. Like they would right. be like a happening. This was like, this also reminded me of the time of like, oh, Entertainment Weekly was king because maybe I had a subscription. So that's what it felt like. I'll give it a two for gay actors playing gay roles. Give it a 1.33. All right, our next one: themes of mothers.
Oh,
that's a pretty big theme.
Pretty
that's the whole motivation for the killer,
right?
Yeah, Sydney's facing the ghost of her mom for the first time in a couple movies. Right?
She literally begins a monologue by saying, "I always thought I had the perfect mom." That's just right. Here's the theme, right?
Feels
here,
like
right
the thematic choice there.
Turns out she's human and I can't handle it. She had wants and needs, nasty
flaws.
Oh
I'm out of here. And also just leaving like Maureen's photographs at the scene of the crime.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's the big theme of the movie. It's probably how they pitched the movie in the room. So I got to right. give it like a 10.
Someone has to pay for the mother's flaws.
We've all got moms. So that's how we can all relate to this.
Yeah.
And they were all probably whores. Yeah, I will also give it a 10.
It is a weird, like, there's like a little bit of like slut shamey vibe.
A little bit.
The whole thing,
a little
you know
bit of
I mean?
Slut shamey vibe.
It's never like called out that, like, let Maureen, she didn't do anything wrong. She's living her life. She's, you know, being young. She was exploited by this terrible producer.
Would you say that the movie doesn't do a good enough job? Letting
or
you know
Sydney,
where it
like
stands,
they don't have like Sydney ever like say like, oh my mom was flawed, but I loved her. You know, she was human. Mm-hmm.
It seems like a thing she's like she's struggling with, and then people say it, and she's like, is this the truth about her?
Yeah,
but it feels like all the villains say that, which makes me think that it's like the movie thinks that it's not the good point of view.
But I guess we never hear the rebuff from Sydney. Right. I'll also give this a 10. I mean, it got us talking.
It's talking, baby.
Can a mother be a tramp?
Not mine.
All right, our next category, drinks thrown in faces. Well, Gail and Jennifer punch each other.
They punch each other. Warburton takes a frying pan to the face, which felt like a drink. A step up from a drink. I'd rather have a drink than a frying pan, sure.
Yes, yes. Any others? I think that's it. I don't know if anyone ever throws like liquid at Ghostface in a chase scene or anything like that.
It does seem like that would be very effective.
Yeah. He's got that bottle of champagne at the end, but I don't think anyone's throwing it at anybody.
No.
Pretty low to me. Three?
Three.
I'll give it a four.
Four. I'll give it a four. Mostly because I love after she gets punched, Jennifer says, or Parker Posey, my lawyer liked that. It's so weird.
That delivery is so good.
It's so funny. It has you literally on the edge of your seat. Like, what does she say? What is this sentence?
Yeah.
It gives you time to digest each word as she says it. It's so good. I got a 3.67 in drinks thrown in face. And finally, the last of the bonus categories, quips. How quippy is Scream 3?
I have to say, the first thing on my list is Parker Posey saying, my lawyer like that.
That's a great one. She got a ton. Like I'm ever going to win an award playing you. Remind me not to sleep with him again. Mm-hmm. And then the classic daughter obsession line.
All the Gail Dewey stuff is pretty quippy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have any great examples off the top of my head, but they're kind of they've got a good rat attack going the whole time.
Yeah. No, they got a great chemistry. Pretty quippy. I think all these movies are very fun and sort of jokey.
This one probably the least, I'm guessing, because it wasn't written by Kevin Williamson. I think he's like the quip man on these ones. But seven.
That's how I have him in my phone address book.
Yeah, oh, quip man.
The quip man.
Siri, call the quip
man. Excuse me. I'm the quip man.
I'll give it an eight.
Eight. Yeah, I'll give it an eight. Given an average of 7.67. All right, now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories are larger, more umbrella categories. And so for these next couple of categories, we're rating from 0 to 200.
Okay.
All right, you ready for this? The first one, how would you rate Scream 3 in homoeroticism?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I could say is that and I do like this in the movie, how Gail and Jennifer, they start working together. Like, I like that they start off as enemies, but then they become partners, buddies, and they're holding hands a lot.
That's true.
But that's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gail falls in love with, they're both with narcissists. Herself. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. One's an actor, one's an entertainment reporter.
Yeah.
It's a perfect couple.
All I can think of is places where there would have been room for homoeroticism, but there wasn't really any. Like between
the
actors.
There's always room for homoeroticism.
Always room.
That, another great piece of merch right there.
Dan, do you want to be our branding
expert? Yeah.
VP?
I'll say the things that could be merch, but that's the extent of what you'll get from me. I'm not going to like design or price. Like you think there could be some with like Dewey and Patrick Warburton actors,
Keith Lauren and someone.
Yeah. The cops, you know, there's something there, maybe like between McSteamy or whichever one he is and Dewey, but
he's McDreamy.
Really McDreamy.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Show some respect.
The only one I know is McRibby.
Hello. It's back, baby.
Kevin
is it? I've never had a McRib. Should I?
Oh, man. It's great.
Mm. Is it?
It's great how like microwaved.
How not real it is?
Yeah. Like microwaved White Castle.
Oh,
where
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
Nothing else tastes like this.
Right.
And so the it's
it
a flavor
an
that
itch.
Is. Yeah,
once it's got into you, you're like, I do want to scratch that itch.
Yeah. Once a year, I'm fine with it.
Once it's got into you, you're going to want to scratch that itch. Is that a good merch?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. That's why
for
you're the
jockstrap. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's actually, like good warning. Like I have STDs. Once I get into you, you're gonna need to scratch that itch.
You're gonna need to see a doctor. After
advice
this.
Merch is good.
Yeah.
So I would say three.
3 out of 200.
Oh shit. 30.
30.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
Pretty good.
I'll give it a 20. Actually, unfortunately.
20. Yeah. I'm gonna go. 16. I'm going to go 3,000. I'm giving it 22, which is 33 points higher than Fame.
Whoa.
Pretty good for two movies that don't have any homoeroticism in them.
Right.
All right. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Scream 3 and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yeah.
I think so. Gail's yellow suit at the beginning, I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Jennifer Jolie does Gale drag.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's wearing an outfit that was an outfit that Courtney Cox wore in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a someone has to have done Ghostface's drag in some sort of capacity.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
It's pretty simple.
Ghostface is a horror icon.
Yeah.
Also, Cotton's all white suit and shirt. Gail's terrible bangs, I'm sure you could adjust. Maureen's ghost.
That's a good excuse. I was inspired by Courtney Cox's terrible bangs in Scream 3. That's why my wig looks like this.
We're doing a tribute to Sister Act.
You
idiot. I like to mix and match. I'm a mess.
I'm zagging.
Zagging.
Well,
Carrie Fisher's look was pretty fun, I thought.
But if someone did it, would people be like, oh, Carrie Fisher from Scream 3?
If you really knew Scream 3, I would say you would.
Yeah.
I'd say 100 even.
100, right in the middle.
I think I agree. It's pretty low. I'm going to actually go 65.
I can't believe we haven't even mentioned Jay and Silent Bob. How many drag queens have done Jay and Silent Bob?
I think drag kings, maybe.
But you could still do a genderqueer version of Jay and Silent Bob.
Well, sure.
I don't know if anybody wants that.
Right. there's one thing the gays want. It's more Jay and Silent Bob.
We love the view. He nailed it in Chasing Amy. His movies age well.
Us.
Yeah. There's nothing problematic or weird about him or that tweet about, that infamous tweet of his.
Which he now says his wife had him tweet on a dare. It was like his.
He was saying, like he lost
just
a bet.
Own it. It's like Tommy Wiseau saying the room was intentional, a comedy. Like, no.
No, it wasn't.
It's fine. All right.
Now we don't like it.
Yeah. Stick to your lane. Our last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Scream 3?
I have trouble understanding what fits into camp sometimes, but I don't think it's that campy, right?
You have a picture with Superman and Super Grover, and you don't know what camp is.
I feel like I had you guys explain camp to me last time. So that's camp.
There's a camp element to it. You're taking two icons, mix them together.
Yeah. If you bring any woman home to your place, they're going to be like, oh, he's gay.
Yeah. You might as well have an actual red flag.
I think Monica quoting Chandler when she said, could I be more popular at one point? She was doing a little Friends reference. That to me felt camp.
Mm.
I think interacting with actors who have been cast as you, that sort of felt like campy to me.
Pretty much everything Parker Posey is doing.
Yeah. There's like a speech that what's his name gave that was like, you want to get in Hollywood, you got to play the game.
Lance Henriksen.
It was just like, all right, this could
have
come right out.
I thought
out
that
like,
was Wes Craven. I had to X-ray it.
He auditioned.
Yep. Did he?
And he didn't cast himself. Crazy.
He saw his own tape and was like, I don't know.
I don't think I'm good.
Camera doesn't like me.
I'm not willing to do what it takes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fuck me.
I always thought camp meant like larger than life.
That too.
Camp,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I would say the Scream movies are a little campy, right?
Like absolutely. There's all the self-awareness and the meta of it all. And we don't mean the new Facebook when we say meta.
Is it called Meta?
Yes, it's called Meta. Isn't that awful?
Oh no.
Isn't this the worst?
I don't know
what they could have named it that I would have liked, but
nothing. Mark Zuckerberg is dead. I would have liked that. Have you checked out Mark Zuckerberg and his dead stock prices? Through the roof.
I guess 120 for camp.
120.
I'll do 160.
160. Ah, yeah. Well, we didn't really explain it to you, so we but I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Maybe this will help. Here we go. That weird time when you needed a car phone and a cell phone. The Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. Having a Cinzano print on your wall. Swearing on your Pulitzer Prize that you haven't won yet. No one respecting an entertainment reporter. Wanting your bodyguard to hold you like a baby. A detective teaming up with an unconventional partner. What is this? ABC's Castle? Ghostface is pushing people on carts, hitting them with frying pans. What is this? Scooby-Doo? threatening script pages, realizing you're in the concluding chapter of a trilogy, looking exactly like Carrie Fisher, describing anything as a hot set, destroying craft services, fake movie posters, dramatic lineage reveals taking place in a luxurious home theater, your last act on Earth being falling onto a fancy lamp, hiding an engagement ring in a trashy true crime book, and finally, Sydney leaves her kitchen door and her front gate open, leaving me to believe she wants her dog to run away. I think this is probably the campiest Scream movie. Hollywood of it all.
Sure.
So I'll give it a 175.
All righty.
Giving it a 151.67, which is 6 points five. Yeah, no, 5 points higher than Fame.
Wow.
Okay.
Finally, we are into the crown jewels.
So these categories we're not rating. We're just saying we think it gets it or not.
And the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. The only thing you could say is that it does show how it suffers without Kevin Williamson's involvement, who is a gay
So
man.
It's a positive negative example is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's positive by look how much we needed him.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think that's quite
I don't
enough.
Think it's, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, there's just really no gay characters, if nothing else.
None of the straight characters are going around being homophobic.
Well, that's give them a Pulitzer,
they
a
don't
Nobel
have
Prize.
An opportunity to.
I mean, Jay and Silent Bob are constantly being homophobic, and they found a
this
way not
true.
To in their
that's true.
Appearance.
And they've become universally embraced. Are you excited for Clerks 3? It's in the can.
No.
It's already in the can.
It's in the can.
I think it's stop bothering my agent then.
It's
yeah.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. Did you hear it? Did you get it? No, I tried to watch the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back sequel, and it was just so tough to it. They are so stuck in their sense of humor from 1998. That it hurts me as someone who loved those movies. That,
right.
that you once were that person.
No, yeah, that it's like, oh God. And that it's like, wait, could I get stuck like this if someone else did?
Like, but you haven't.
We, any of us can be stuck.
I haven't become super famous for it yet.
This is true.
It's true. It's tough.
But no, I'm not excited. I'll watch it, but I'm worried about it, I'll say.
You'll give it 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. That's about
you're worried, like you're tossing and turning it, like about Clerks 3.
Dante, is he even that good of an actor?
Rosario Dawson couldn't get out of this?
I'll say
it does
no.
bother me. Let me just quickly say the only version of Goodbye Horses you can listen to on Spotify is from the Clerks 2 soundtrack. So I hate that I'm giving it that attention when I add it to my playlist on
that's pretty
which
Spotify.
Song is that?
That was a real Sophie.
It's from Silence of the Lambs, the one when like, you know, Buffalo Bill tucks and is like, is that song that's fuck? Playing?
Okay. Yeah.
Goodbye Horses.
I guess the Silence of the Lambs soundtrack A&R is a little more litigious.
I guess so.
Kevin Smith.
So what have we decided? Yay or nay to the positive portrayal bonus? It sounds like
no.
nay.
Yeah, nay.
All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Okay.
All right, that's it. We're
that's
done.
Huge. That's huge.
That's huge. You dodged the bullets.
So now, Dan, now that we've been through it all, how do you think the movie did? Do you think it's going to do better than Scream?
That's a good question.
Scream
had
a 53.32%.
I think it will, but I think if it doesn't, it's because I hindered it with airing too low on some of my ratings.
Because your integrity ruined it. Okay.
Your integrity ruined it.
My integrity ruined it.
You're too noble.
Yet again.
Well, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,519.56 points, Scream 3 has scored 1,636.89 points, giving it a percentage of 64.97, making it the 57th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as The Emperor's New Groove, but gayer than Ginger Snaps.
Two Patrick Warburtons back to back.
Patrick
that's
Warburton,
true.
He's got a
yes.
lock on 56 and 56. He's really good in movies that
slightly
are
slightly friendly to gays.
Yeah. That are slightly not, under not 65% gay. Yeah.
Like, you can look at me, but I'm not flirting back.
Story of my life. Well, Dan, you
such
did
a treat.
It.
Wow. I'm happy with that for Scream. That feels like where it belongs. Scream 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's safe. Something with no actual homoeroticism or gay people. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Where's pretty Toy good. Soldiers again?
Toy Soldiers.
Did you say 70 something or did I make that up?
78 maybe?
Nobody said that. Nope, you guys are just making things up.
You said 72, right? Nope. Mark Rennie said 72 for Toy Soldiers.
You definitely have said 72 at some point in the last hour and a half.
That's the year my brother was born. But Toy Soldiers is 97th with a 42.47.
Okay.
But that was on I wonder how it would do because it's definitely more homoerotic than
that's true.
Any of the Scream movies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A lot more ass shots.
You know what you like, Dan?
What do I like?
Toy Soldiers.
You know.
Well, Dan, that's it. Thank you so much
fun.
For doing this. Is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Yeah, get on Paramount Plus and watch Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. I'm in that, and that's the thing that I'm excited about right now. And BigGrandeWebsite.com is where my group Big Grande sells all our content, which is podcast stuff, animated stuff, and we just taped a live improv comedy special that we're going to put on there once it's edited.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God.
And Man Dog Pod, like you said, beginning of the improv and conversation podcast with me and Ryan Rosenberg.
Awesome. Amazing. Do check all that out. Dan, it's one of the funniest, kindest people I know, I would say. But you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, CWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain all the current movie rankings.
Yes, you can email us at Two Old Queens, CWO Old Queens at gmail.com. Let us know what you think, if we got anything wrong. Any merch suggestions you want to pitch our ways? We can see what Dan thinks of them first and then maybe make it happen.
Yeah, go ahead and CC me on those.
Please. If he gets a thumbs up, we'll move forward.
We'll go to the next phase. We also have a Patreon, Two Old Queens Retirement Plan, for just $5 a month. You get an extra episode every other week. So you get you end up getting an episode every week if you join that. And we also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun merch that already exists. You can buy for yourself or your loved ones. A percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. That's it.
And that's it. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe and goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.